ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मन्मना भव मद्भक्तो मद्याजी माम नमस्कुरु, माम एव एवैष्यसि युक्तैवम् आत्मानां मत्परायणः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट आल्सो बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: एंगेज योर माइंड ऑलवेज इन थिंकिंग ऑफ मी, बिकम माय डिवोटी, ऑफर ओबेसेंसेस टू मी एंड वर्शिप मी, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Translation, please repeat. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport: in this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes, unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Puran, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Lila, verses 41-48. Deha Dehi Vibhedo Yam Meshvare Vidyate Kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demoniac. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle, he was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, And we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord, that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down, because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Hare Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita is a very, very important book. It is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandanaha Partha Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Mritam Mahat. The Bhagavad Gita, the Gita Mahatmya, explains that The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads and the other scriptures. If the Upanishads are compared as a cow, Sarvopanishado Gavo, then the milkman or the Dogdha is Gopal Nandanaha, that is Krishna, and the calf is Partha or the Arjuna. Parthavatsa Sudhir Bhokta. It's not the calf alone drinks the milk of the cow. There is some milk still remain, and other fortunate people like the devotees of Krishna, they also get the chance to drink the milk. So apart from Arjuna, those who are devotees of Krishna, saintly people, they are authorized or qualified to enjoy this dugdham, this milk, which is nectar. Gitamritam Mahat. So Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all scriptures. In other words, it is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. The Bhagavad Gita has three divisions. That is the first six chapters. The first six chapters, the middle six chapters, and the last six chapters. The first six chapters and the last six chapters are like the coverings for the middle six chapters. And the middle six chapters are considered the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And in the middle six chapters, the ninth and tenth chapters are considered as the essence of the middle six chapters. And the essence of ninth chapter is today's verse that we are reading, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. So this verse, the 34th verse of the ninth chapter, is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So let's try to trace it out. What is the first essence? The essence, the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Then the essence of Bhagavad Gita is the middle six chapters. And then the essence of middle six chapter is ninth chapter. And the essence of ninth chapter is the 34th verse that we are reading today. So today's verse is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of all knowledge. And that is to become a pure devotee of the Lord. There is nothing higher than this, there is nothing superior to this, nothing confidential, nothing esoteric than this. So this is considered the most important, essential, crucial words of Bhagavad Gita. Someone may say that, well, what about Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja? Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. Where Krishna advised that we should give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Isn't that the essence? Well, it is, but there is no difference between two these verses. The same verse, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto of the ninth chapter, is repeated almost except for the two words in the 18th chapter. It appears as the 65th verse in the 18th chapter, and the Sarva Dharman Parityajya is the 64th verse. So in the Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse, Krishna is urging to everyone to surrender to him completely, utterly, giving up all other forms of refuge and shelter. But how exactly to do that, what the components of the surrender are mentioned in this Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto verse. So therefore surrender is given a practical shape in this verse. And surrender is made for what? Ultimately to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to please Him. This is the idea. So this has been mentioned here in this last verse of this ninth chapter. The eighth chapter discussed the position of the yogis, especially the Ashtanga yogis. And we saw how therefore different paths, the path of light, the path of darkness, the yogi has to select very expertly, very cleverly the right time to depart from this world. But the conclusion of the eighth chapter was that for an Ananya Bhakta, for an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, the time of the day or night of death is immaterial, because a pure devotee is destined to go back to Godhead. That is sure. So having stated this at the end of the 8th chapter, now in 9th chapter, Krishna has explained how actually to become such a pure devotee of Krishna. So in the beginning of 9th chapter, Krishna had contrasted devotion to Krishna with many other things. For example, worshipping the demigods. And then he had, by such comparison, demonstrated that such paths are very much inferior. Then one should only exclusively take shelter of Krishna. And then, in these last few verses 26 till 34 of the 9th chapter, Krishna simply glorifies the path of devotional service. He also glorifies naturally the devotees of the Lord. And he explains how a devotee is so dear to Krishna. And then he speaks that even if a devotee accidentally falls down, but if he is very remorseful and repentant at such a fall down, then Krishna considered such a person to be a sadhu, a genuine devotee of the Lord. So in this way, Krishna is concluding the glories of devotional service in the 9th chapter here. And in the 10th chapter, he will continue speaking about his opulences in order that this sense of devotion in our heart may become stronger, because we need nourishment of knowledge in our heart. The transcendental knowledge that can strengthen our devotion. But ultimately, this one verse is sufficient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also glorifies this particular verse as being the most important verse. It is a verse by which Krishna is giving protection to the whole world. He only instrumentally speaks to Krishna, but actually it is intended to the whole world. Yeah, Arjun is the via medium. Yes, he speaks through Arjun, but he is actually speaking to the whole world through Arjun, his dear friend. So in this verse, Krishna is saying four things. He is giving us the four ways to practice devotion. He is continuing from the 33rd verse, where he is saying that anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. That anityam, anityam means which is temporary. Nityam means eternal, anityam means just the opposite. And asukham, sukham means happiness, and asukham means just the opposite, miseries. So having obtained this temporary, miserable, material world, what should you do? Bhajasvamam. You should become my devotee. Worship me. So having stated this on the at the end of the 33rd verse, now in this verse Krishna is illustrating how to do that. How should one become Krishna's devotee? In other words, what does it mean to become a devotee of Krishna? What should one do to be called as a devotee of Krishna? That is mentioned here. Krishna is giving four very confidential instructions in this verse. This very chapter itself is called the most confidential knowledge. Raja Guhya Yoga. The most confidential instructions are given here in this verse. What is the first one? Manmana. Always think of me. Bhava madbhaktaha. Become my devotee. Madhyaji. Worship me. Mam namaskuru. Offer your obeisances to me. Mam eva esyasi. Yukta evam. Eva esyasi. Esyasi means to return. Eva means certainly. If you do these four things, O Arjuna, you will certainly return to me. Yukta evam. If you absorbed in such activities all the time, rest assured that you will come back to me, to my own abode. Atmanam mat parayanah. So you should be with your body, mind and soul, your words, your actions, your thoughts, you should constantly absorbed in me. And in this way, I promise you, you will come to my abode. So there is an interesting analysis, because each of these four confidential instructions represents different aspects, different grades of devotion, or different levels of advancement in Krishna consciousness. The first one, manmana, means always thinking of me. Who can always think of Krishna? Only a pure devotee. What to speak of a non-devotee? Even an aspiring devotee or a practicing devotee cannot think of Krishna all the time. A practicing devotee may sometime think of Krishna, may many times think of Krishna, may very often think of Krishna. But to always think of Krishna is possible only for a pure devotee. So this stage represents the highest stage of pure devotion, when one should be absorbed all the while in Krishna. It is not merely a matter of doing some physical service for Krishna. That, of course, we must engage our senses nicely in Krishna's service, but it is not sufficient for our physical senses and our speech to be engaged in Krishna's service. while doing these things, one must also absorb one's mind in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna, that is ultimately the highest perfection. So Krishna is emphasizing, is urging all of us, is giving as the highest platform and asking us to follow, to come to that platform. The residents of Vrindavan, for example, are the best example of this instruction of Krishna, that I must always thinking of me. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata, that one should always be chanting his glories. One should with resolute determination practicing Krishna consciousness. We see that they could not but think of Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan. They were helplessly thinking of Krishna, and we are helplessly thinking of sense gratification. And we try hard to think of Krishna. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we are failure. But our natural inclination is to think of this world, to speak about the matter of this world, and to engage the activities, in the activities related, connected to this world. And perform activities that are connected to this world. But the Brajabasis, in Krishna's time, were helplessly, naturally, spontaneously, were engaged in Krishna's service, in Krishna's thought. Even though they tried very hard, they were not able to forget Krishna. They were unable to do so. This was their qualification, because Krishna is so attractive. He is so attractive that you cannot forget him. So, someone may raise the question that if it is impossible to forget Krishna, if Krishna is so attractive, so very attractive, and how is that everyone is forgotten Krishna? The answer is, it's because of Krishna. Without Krishna's illusory potency, it is not possible to forget Krishna. Because the living entity desires to forget Krishna, so Krishna makes it possible for the living entity to forget Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible, because Krishna is so over-empoweringly attractive. You cannot forget Krishna. It's only Krishna's being very merciful on the living entity, because the living entity, being conditioned, desires to forget Krishna. Therefore, Krishna fulfills his desire. That's okay. You want to forget me, you want to enjoy independent from me, you want to forget me, so be it, I will give you this forgetfulness. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtah mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. In the 15th chapter, Lord Krishna explains that from me, seated in the heart, as the super soul, comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So when one has a strong desire to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to become his devotee, then Krishna makes it possible also. So the heart of devotional service is strong desire to serve Krishna in a very favorable way. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada here mentions in the purport that one should, thinking of Krishna in a favorable way. And he writes the whole one paragraph about this. And Prabhupada gives the example of Kamsa. Just like Kamsa was thinking of Krishna always, but that kind of thinking is not mentioned here. Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, but in the description of pure devotees of the Lord, in the scriptures, we don't read Kamsa's name. Kamsa's name doesn't appear in that list. Why? Because although Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, he was not favorably inclined to Krishna, which is the characteristic of a devotee. A devotee just simply doesn't think of Krishna, but he favorably thinks of Krishna. That's a very important distinction. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has defined the pure devotional service as Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishnanu Silanam Bhaktir Uttama. The Anukulena Krishna, Anukul, the favorable, is very significant word in this verse. So, the first class devotional service, as Srila Rupa Goswami explains, that which is performed with a very favorable bent of mind. When a devotee is very favorably inclined to Krishna, and without any propensity, without any material desire, without any fruitive mentality, without any desire of mental speculation, merging to the Brahman, one should serve Krishna just like that. It means active service at the level of mind, words and the body. This is first class devotional service. What is the meaning of rendering service favorably or thinking of Krishna favorably? How we should do such service? When we say that we should think of Krishna favorable way, that mean that we should think that I want to give pleasure to Krishna. I may or may not end up giving pleasure. That is a different thing. But at least I must have the attitude, the sincere, pure attitude that I want to please Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a very important distinction here between pleasing Krishna and wanted to please Krishna. So one is actually pleasing Krishna, and the second one is having the strong desire to want to please Krishna. Sorry. If you consider the first, that is pleasing Krishna as a standard, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur argues, then Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha were pure devotees of the Lord. Why so? Because when Krishna descends in this world, he descends for many reasons. But one of the reason that Krishna, he has the desire, he battles with the demons. And he wants to engage in his fighting propensity. He wants to taste this vir ras, the mellow of chivalry. And it is his devotees from the spiritual world who descends, takes the form of demons and engages themselves in combat so that Krishna feels the pleasure. So Hiranyaksha was fighting the Lord who was in the Varaha incarnation, and Lord was pleased because he was able to get that pleasure in the fighting with Hiranyaksha. And he was relishing the vir ras. So does that mean that because Hiranyaksha pleased Lord Varaha? He is a devotee of Lord Varaha? No. In fact, he was demoniac. His intention was exactly, completely opposite. He didn't want to please Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. So even though he ended up in pleasing Krishna, but because his intention was not pleasing Krishna, so he is not considered a devotee. Similarly, you can think of Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, and so many other demons. They perform their role in Krishna Leela. And on the other hand, if you say that pleasing Krishna is the standard of devotion, and anyone who displeases Krishna is not a devotee, then Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that Mother Yashoda is not a devotee. Because in Krishna Leela, so many times we saw that Mother Yashoda, she was running behind Krishna with the stick. She even tied Krishna with the rope. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that the standard of devotion is not that you please Krishna, but the standard is that you want to please Krishna. In this wanting to please Krishna process, you have to know how to do it. Not that you and I have some concocted idea, our own ways, our own speculative way of pleasing Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada says here that in the purport that one should cultivate knowledge of Krishna consciousness continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that His body is not material but is eternal blissful knowledge. Thus, this kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will be fruitless. So Prabhupada is continuing here that even demoniac people like Kamsa were always thinking of Krishna. But that kind of thinking is not being recommended or spoken about here in this verse. What is being spoken about is devotional thinking, favorable thinking, thinking in love. In this thinking, the wanting to please Krishna in this way. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, in his own life, he is representing to this verse today that he was so absorbed in thinking that how to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, because he knew that Krishna would be pleased. This is Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement. And in the course of such thinking, he had so much anxiety. Prabhupada had so much anxiety, but he endured. He did not think his own pleasure. Rather, he only saw the pleasure of the Guru Parampara and Krishna. So when in 1977, as we heard that Srila Prabhupada traveled the whole world 14 times, 14 times. So when in 1977 Prabhupada was in this earthly planet, he was traveling from here, he was planning to go to London, and then from there to many places, and finally he decided he will take rest in Hawaii. But then because he was so sick, from London only he had to come back. And Prabhupada was so responsible towards Krishna and to the mood of Krishna's desire, because he had the plan to complete the Juhu temple, Radharas Bihari. So even though Prabhupada was very sick, he didn't come back to Vrindavan. From London, he came to Bombay. And he was urging, Surabhi Maharaj. He was there. But then Surabhi Maharaj, he was telling that we cannot finish the temple. We cannot do it so quickly. But then when Prabhupada understood that it was not possible to complete the temple at that point, then he came back to Vrindavan. And then ultimately Radharas Bihari temple inaugurated in 1978. So I just trying to point it out that even though Prabhupada was... Yes. So even though Prabhupada was so sick, but wherever it was, like Juhu land was such a difficult project in Prabhupada's life, in whole ISKCON movement. So Prabhupada always carried the picture of Radharas Bihari wherever he traveled. He carried this picture because that picture was always reminded him that he had an unfinished task. So therefore, when he was coming back from London, he still went to Bombay. He didn't come back to Vrindavan, even though he was at the time of the end episode. So that was my point, that a devotee, he is so responsible towards Krishna, and he understands that what Krishna expects from me, so he acts accordingly. And then the second point was bhava madbhakta. To engage the senses, the body, mind and words in Krishna's service. As Prahlad Maharaj mentioned, the Navadha Bhakti, nine process of devotional service. So when we come to the morning program, we cover all the each limbs of different aspects of devotional service, these 9 points. Then Madhyaji, one must worship him. Worship means the process of archan by flower, incense, lamp, offering bhoga and etc. And then Mam Namaskuru, one must offer obeisances. The obeisances is very important activity in our Krishna consciousness. It says that simply by doing this, the offering obeisances to Krishna, millions of lifetimes of sins are destroyed. One actually develops affinity towards Krishna's service. What to speak of offering obeisances in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in the holy abode of Krishna? Even lying down to sleep, you get the benefit of offering obeisances. So it says that when we sleep in Sri Vrindavan Dham, it's like offering obeisances to the Dham. So that doesn't mean that whole day we sleep more than necessary. So, but that is the power of offering obeisances even once to Krishna. Sri Jiva Goswami explains that when Akrura obtained the perfection of life, not just by chanting prayers, but also by offering obeisances. When Akrura was approaching Vrindavan, he was coming from Mathura to meet Krishna, having been sent by Kamsa. When he saw Krishna's lotus footprints and in the sand, he stopped, he came down from his chariot and started rolling in the dust of Brajadham. So he was rolling and offering obeisances to the dust. So everything, every time we come to the dham, to Vrindavan, or every time we leave Vrindavan, the first thing we should do when we arrive, and the last thing we do before we leave, we should offer obeisances to the dham. We should pay our visit to the deities. We should offer our obeisances to them as soon as we come here, or at the time we leave from here. Every time we offer our obeisances. We offer obeisances to Tulasi Maharani. Even when we go to bathe to Yamuna, we should offer obeisances to her first before entering to her water. So many kinds of obeisances are there. The one kind is just by folding our hands. Then there is Panchanga Pranam, as the five limbs of obeisances, as ladies do generally. And then there is Dandavat Pranam, the fall flat in the ground. And so by doing these things, these four things, Krishna is assuring us of a place in his own abode, in Goloka Vrindavan. So we are reserving our ticket, reserving our place in the spiritual world. This is such an important thing. It's very simple, but very confidential and very important. So with this verse, Manmana, always think of me, Bhava Madhbhakta, become my devotee, Madhyaji, offer worship to me, and Mam Namaskuru, offer your obeisances to me. So with these four important things, Krishna is concluding this chapter, the most confidential knowledge, and the 10th chapter will begin from tomorrow, from next day. Yes. So thank you all very much. Are there any questions or comment?
You mentioned about the mind, the importance of thinking of Krishna. We all know that can be very difficult. So are there any like suggestions, or is there any like, not trick, but that would help and have the mind more fixed?
As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that mind is more difficult to control than to control the wind. But also in the same verse, Krishna also says that by practice, we have to constantly practice and detachment. So yes, so how we perform practice and detachment, everything is given by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has given us the whole system to follow. We just have to follow. We come to the morning program, we chant our rounds, we attend the Bhagavatam class, we take prasad, everything is here. We don't have to manufacture anything. So when we do these things also, we hear lectures, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, we study Prabhupada's books. So when we do these things for several years, then mind also naturally comes in control. Because mind have the habit, because so many lifetimes we are doing so many nonsensical activities. So to control the mind, it will take some time. But if we follow Prabhupada's program, then naturally mind will come control. It's not very difficult.
Yesterday... Yesterday, a speaker also mentioned a very nice key, which is to be serious and sincere. Because you can practice, but you have to practice sincerely and seriously, because your intention for you have also done that in your first part of your lecture. The intention is very important. If you do it casually, you'll get casual results. I'm also convinced that that verse which says, by practice and detachment, I think the detachment comes from the practice. It won't come on its own. You can't mentally decide that I'm going to be detached, because without that practice, you won't become detached.
You mean detachment?
Detachment of your material attachments. It means in order to have detachment from the material, you have to have attachment for the spiritual.
Yes.
So that's what you're practicing in the spiritual program. As you say, you wake up, you know, devotees who've been devotees for many years, their practice is so firm, they don't even use an alarm clock to wake up, because they're so anxious to get the Mangalarti and to greet the deities and to worship the spiritual master and worship the Tulsi Devi and honor the devotees and sing from their hearts and chant their rounds. It takes practice. Whereas the man in the street once asked somebody, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? And the answer, of course, is practice, practice, practice. So this is what we do. But it has to be sincere and serious. Thank you very much for all your points. I think everyone will agree that, what are you, number nine? This is the ninth night we've had this verse. And everyone will agree that every single night has been a completely enlightening experience in a completely different way. They say in Kurukshetra, sometimes they have seminars with great sadhus and great groups, and they will have different people speak. Now we have covered it over 9 days. Tomorrow's the 10th and final day. We won't go any further. But this is the proof that the spiritual message is ever expanding. You cannot complete it. You cannot complete this spiritual information. Anyone else has a comment?
Actually, the point you made that it becomes easy, this process, if we follow nicely an instruction of Srila Prabhupada, the program given by Srila Prabhupada. You even said it is natural. I like this adjective. It becomes naturally easy. Actually, yesterday also the Prabhu said that if we follow nicely, then we attract the favor of the acharyas and the favor of Krishna.
Because we have the living examples. You see, in ISKCON only, you see so many Prabhupada disciples. See their life. We don't have to go beyond them. Just see their lives. So many ISKCON devotees, especially Prabhupada disciples. See Yamuna Mataji's life. What she did? She just did her bhakti nicely. Whatever Prabhupada said to her, whatever Prabhupada taught her, she just performed that. She didn't do anything extra from that. So even doing those simple things that Prabhupada taught her, Prabhupada trained her in Krishna consciousness to the deity worship, everything. And then she became expert. She, our Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Gaur Nitai, so beautiful because of Mother Yamuna. She was so detailed in Krishna Balaram altar. How the Krishna Balaram is resting on Krishna, how the gap should be there, how much gap should be there that the cloth can go inside. She was so detailed. How the Lalita Vishakha should face in or face out the Krishna, the Radha Shyam Sundar. So each and every detail, so much struggle she did. So she just did her bhakti nicely. That's it. See her, how the way she left this world. So quietly, so privately. It's not that the whole group of Kirtaniya is sitting and doing Kirtan. She just, simply by chanting and smiling face, she just left. Just to think of her life gives me so much inspiration in my own spiritual life.
Yeah.
We don't have to go anywhere. If Prabhupada has given everything here in this temple.
Nice point.
Hare Krishna, this is Prabhupada once said, it's to Vyasaki Prabhu, he said that don't be Krishna unconscious. Like, you know, the positive injunction is to be, like we hear, please be Krishna conscious and like that. And then also Prabhupada said that it was never a point in his life when he forgot Krishna. This is in the Lilamrita. And then also there is one verse in one Purana, this is really good. It says that if one continues to chant the holy names in spite of all dangers and difficulties, then Lord Hari becomes very pleased with him. So, you know, if we continue, then the Lord becomes very pleased. So we should make our best efforts to chant and remember and serve and so on.
Therefore, we said from the Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary that wanted to please Krishna is more important. Because while we are engaging in our all the activities, if this is there in the mind, that I have to please Krishna, whatever I am doing, so then the activities will naturally become Krishna conscious. Okay. Any other thing?
I kind of missed half of that, but I would say, I hope I didn't miss this part, that it is natural because this is our natural constitutional position. That's why it's so natural. We have concocted an unnatural situation by coming to the material world and becoming attached like that. It is our natural situation to do all these things, to become attracted to the supreme attractive. So easy to say, it's so hard to do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.